Thank you for joining us today on Global Heart to Heart Radio. This is Mary Alice, and I am here with my very dear and longtime teacher, Peggy Rubin, who is the founding director of the Center for Sacred Theater in Ashland, Oregon. Peggy is the author of the award-winning book, To Be and How to Be. The book was born of Peggy's many years as a Shakespearean actor and human potentials teacher. We will learn much more about her book, To Be and How to Be, in part two of our interview with Peggy on Monday, March 30th. Today, however, we will commune with Peggy in a feast at the Long Table of Joy. And Peggy is a consummate expert when it comes to joy. She has dedicated her life to the pursuit of joy and to sharing her knowledge, wisdom, experiences, and enthusiasm about the spiritual practice of joy and building palaces of joy through the ninefold path. As you listen in, prepare to be delighted as Peggy inspires us about joy in the world 2020, sourcing in joy, and the ladies' year for joy. And as we weave through this time together, we are getting a sneak preview of Peggy's upcoming book about joy. So thank you for joining us. I hope you treasure this time with Peggy as much as I have. And now let's enjoy the interview. Did you have anything in particular you wanted to speak about today?
Well, what came to me this morning, because of who you are, was the Feast of Joy.
Okay.
And how to look at joy as this magnificent feast available to us at all times.
At all times. The one thing that I would tell you that my whole life, long before I met you, I have always been of the belief that joy is why we are here. That we are meant to live in joy, to be in joy, and that's it. And everybody would say to me, it's not serious enough for people. Joy is not serious enough for people. And I think there's many ways to experience joy. But when all the years I have studied with you, you've just completely reinforced for me how joy is such a feast in our life and how important it is to celebrate it all the time. And I've loved that because it's just really reinforced that part of who I am.
Always known you were.
Yes.
That life is a feast about joy.
Yes.
It's not frivolous.
No, it's not.
It's not even not serious. It's totally serious. It's
yes.
never solemn.
Yes.
But it is an essential element of life and an essential element, especially of people who want to be creative.
Yes.
I think because joy is an element in creation and a vital one, and it sometimes hides itself, you know, or submerges itself until you feel it again. But if you don't have it when you're trying to create something, there's a lack of aliveness or lack of buoyance, a lack of enjoyment
yes.
in the whole process. So
yeah.
You're right. I think, I'm so glad to know that, because I kept thinking, okay, this is Mary Alice. We're going to feast today. We're going to look at this great long table of communion that I'm fond of calling it.
Mm-hmm.
All the friends and all the people that we've known and all the places that we visited. And it's all on this vast cornucopia of joy and delight and beauty and all of that wonder that accumulates as we allow it to. So, yes.
And you know, my mind's eye has just created
I hope
this
so.
Table.
That's what, because that's one of the big pieces that I ask people to do, both in the book I'm working
yes.
on and all the conversations that I have about joy, is the imagination piece. And a really dear friend told me about something that I've been studying since she told me, because I was originally thinking in the book that I would be talking the way Teresa of Avila does about the interior castle.
Mm-hmm.
So that part of the work of joy would be to build an interior castle that is made for joy, you know, with pennants flying and fountains flowing and everything beautiful and imaginable. But Alison May told me about something that you would know, the Italian, the family, the D'Este family, had things they called palazzos de delice.
Palazzos de delice.
see.
Sounds good to me.
So they were, and they invited people to come and converse, and you own it, you could stay, but you were kicked out if you were boring. So that was the only rule they had for inviting you to move on to someplace else. Numerous places. And I love, you would know the right translation for delice, but I think of it as deliciousness.
Oh, absolutely.
And delight.
Oh, absolutely.
Both of those. Mm-hmm. So what I'm hoping to incite and invite people to do in the writing that I do about joy is to just build those palaces inside your own mind, inside your body, if mm-hmm. you will, mm-hmm. and open the doors and make them as beautiful as your home is.
Thank you.
You know, make them as thrilled with beauty and excitement and interest and all of that, all of those elements that bring us to greater and greater life. Mm-hmm. And I've decided recently, this came to me because I keep working, as you know, I've been working on this book for 20 years, that what the practice of joy does is open the door, many doors, to the art of becoming who you really are. And if you do it with joy, it is so much, there's nothing to prove, there's nothing to work hard at. It's the combination of the imagination and the senses and the desire that everyone be happy. So those three kind of elements play through it all. And we get to become joy mm-hmm. in the process. And it's, you know, it's a lifelong process of great happiness to do it. But that's the essence of it, I think, Mary Alice, is the becoming.
I am in an experience right now with my radio show. I have been spending the past several weeks creating playlists because there'll be music streaming 24/7, commercial free. And so I had a lot of my own music, but then I had to delve in to find more music so that I would have thousands of songs on my station so there it wouldn't repeat a lot. And I have sat here in this office night after night. Some of the greatest joy I have felt, I think, ever in my life, just being steeped in this vat of music that I'm getting chills in my body now thinking about it. It has brought me so much joy. And I am a fairly joyful person and know how to find joy in many places mm-hmm. and things that I do. I have been astounded at the response that I have had on every level of my being by just delving into the music the way I have. And I've always loved music. I grew up with music, but I'm telling you, I have just surrounded. It's been, I can't even express it completely, but it has brought me tremendous joy.
I bet.
And it has allowed me to think, wow, this is what I'm going to do. Just what you said. I'm really having a lot of fun with it.
Good. It sounds delicious.
It is. It sounds delicioso.
Delicioso, indeed. And rich.
Yes.
Which is, and rich with aliveness. And it sounds like what you've done is just allow the music to play you.
Yes, it has.
Until you became the music.
Mm. It is quite an experience. I know, studying with you and studying with Jean for as many years as I have, the importance that the music plays. It's just part of the entire sensory-rich experience that you have provided for us and how it has opened me to the deepest levels of my being. But I never took this one thing and literally been with it at that level for that long, hours upon hours upon hours, and I don't want to stop. I get so wound up. It's like I'm drunk on music.
mm-hmm. I sense, as you're describing it, I sense these instruments, maybe beyond our hearing, but the instruments and the brilliance of the mind of the composers and the brilliance of the action of the people who've created the music through their instruments and through their minds and through their skills. But there's somewhere surrounding it, it's like a very light cotton candy around it all that's just made of joy, mm-hmm. you know, so the mm-hmm. joy permeates the music mm-hmm. because it came from joy.
Right.
It came from joy. And then to have somebody alive participating in the, not just the hearing it, but the feeling it all the way through your body would be adding to the joy of the universe.
I know.
So that's what you've been doing. In doing that, honoring all of the, that's part of the, I talk about sourcing oneself in joy,
mm-hmm.
you know, that whole thing of acknowledging the depths and the power of all the things we've loved and honored, this great feast that we are enjoying that is joy, feeding it, imbibing it with our skin and our minds and our breath. And our appreciation for people's talent and willingness to write music, to hear right. it first and then write it down and then have somebody play it. I mean, the steps that it takes to bring music to us.
I know. Isn't it incredible?
Isn't it? It's a joy.
That is something I wish I had been able to do, but I still am happy that I'm able to bring it to the world because I know it's up in the vibe for the whole planet.
Yes, it does.
And you have your calendar of joy.
Yes.
The Ladies' Year for Joy calendar. Mm-hmm. And I think that January is sourcing in joy.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to tell us some about that?
Well, I think you've just described it practically perfectly in every way. What I'd really like to do is just to give honor to the interior sense of the great divine feminine one.
Mm-hmm.
Who gave this calendar to me. I mean, mm-hmm. first she gave me the path of joy, the ninefold path of joy.
Mm-hmm.
Just it appeared out, you know, because I was seeking it and seeking something. And my friend said to me, by the time you drive this distance, the great goddess you honor will give you the path, will give you the philosophy of joy. And so the path came, the eight. It was eight then, but then I added the sourcing piece because
mm-hmm.
I thought that you got to source yourself before you do any of it. And then when I was doing a sacred theater workshop here in Ashland one winter, she gave me the calendar. I mean, I woke up one morning with a 360-day calendar of 9 months of 40 days each, and each containing 4 weeks, and the weeks are devoted to the elements, and then the 5 days outside of the calendar, in which, like, this was imitating the great Egyptian idea, who also had a 360-day calendar, and so they had 5 days left over, and so those are the days the gods are born. And so those 5 days at the end of the calendar year are the days that the joyful gods are born. So that's why I call it the Ladies' Year for Joy, because it was a gift from the lady to my listening ears, and to fulfill as profoundly as I know how the purpose that I feel like I've been given, which is to bring as much joy as possible. So,
and you do.
Thank you.
In all that you are, Peggy, bring much joy.
So the month of joyful sourcing is doing exactly what you've just done, which is just immerse yourself in the memory and the experience of the thing that brings you the greatest happiness.
Mm.
And I think of the whole path as being like a lotus blossom, and you step on one piece of it and all of it quakes. And the sourcing would be the center of that lotus flower that goes deep, 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 deep into the mud of our lives, but the fecund places, those rich, rich places that are in our inner worlds mm-hmm. that tell us about and feed us joy and provide resources that are immeasurable and beautiful.
Well, it has done something to me. It actually brought up memory for me that in my growing up in my home, there was always music. My mother was an opera buff. My father was a country music. Then and we had everything in between.
Uh huh.
And there was always music in my house, always, and all different kinds of music. You know, when the White Album came out for the Beatles, my mother ran and got that. I've always loved music. I just never delved into it quite to this depth the way I have these past few weeks, and I think that's where you say we come up, it comes up, that lotus flower. That's part of the root of my being. It was sourced in my soul. my soul followed it from where I was going to land and what family I would land in. I can't imagine if people wouldn't have music in their life. I must have, you know, toned in on that, that was going to be something that this time of my life would emerge and open. The lotus would open.
And you feed it to the world.
Yes.
Yeah. You're giving it.
Yes, I am.
To the world.
I am.
And giving your joy in it and your love for it, which augments even the immensity of the power of the music itself. But
yes,
your joy in it, your love for it, makes it even bigger. And it's cutting a swath through the pain of the world, I think.
Much needed now. And I am doing that with intention.
That's the desire. Right?
My music will carry a message. It's from all different genres, but it's all carrying one big message.
Be alive.
Uh-huh.
Be alive.
Yeah. To live in oneness and joy and love. And that's the message I am putting out to the world with great intention.
Yeah. Oh, good for you. Good for you.
It's great. It's fun. If you have not had an opportunity to experience Peggy's Ladies Year for Joy calendar, you can learn more about it, the Ladies Year for Joy, on PeggyRubin.com. And you can sign up and be on Peggy's email list and experience amazing information all year long on a monthly basis. I love getting my emails every month. So I noticed that you added praise as part of a spiritual practice in joy. Mm-hmm. Would you like to tell us something about that?
Oh, I'd be delighted to. Well, I've been on this quest since I started, actually. Instead of just taking notes and amalgamating experiences for the book of joy, the path for joy, and basing the book on an ancient creation story about a God who laughs and creates through laughter. It's the only one of its kind. It's very unusual and very... And I've been working with it for years, but I suddenly realized as I read this weird... And it is a weird text, again, that what makes the God, the creator God, laugh is all the beings of creation that somehow have already come into being. They're baboons, they're angels, they're birds, and all of them are singing praise, asking, I think, for more creation. They are so thrilled with being created that they want more. So they praise, each in their own voice, the creator. Just singing praise, singing praise, singing praise. And can you imagine the sound? I mean, actually, in that ancient, it's an Egyptian, late antiquity document somewhere stored in Paris. But all of them in their own language, singing praise, loud. And the God has no choice but to laugh. And as the God laughs, there are seven wondrous creations following from that laughter. Each laugh, he does seven laughs. He's written as a he, but it's kind of Gnostic and late Egyptians and part Greek stuff. So it's I think both male and female inherent in that creator. But it's about praise. Praise is what incites the joy and incites the laughter. So I thought, okay. So it happened at Rowe Conference Center. I was talking about praise and this wonderful man stood up and said, we need to think about praise as a spiritual path. And I thought, whoa. And then he wrote this beautiful thing. And I remembered also Andrew Harvey talks about, I've got two incidents, they may not even be in the same book, but he talks about a man who is a fisherman in Chad. And the lake he's out on is absolutely dead. It's been killed by minerals and mining and things, but it's dead. But he is singing praise, no matter what. And he talks about a woman on the eastern side of India where the water's rising, and she's singing praise, mm-hmm. no matter what, mm-hmm. in other words. So, and it's also, I think, David White who talks about if you, he does it in the Celtic way, which is he noticed that he hadn't seen any salmon in his rivers. So he wrote a poem about the salmon. Praising the salmon, Raman, and brought them back. In not, you know, but that would be Celtic magic, what I learn is that praise is an amped up gratitude. So you say, thank you for letting me wake up this morning. Praise to me for waking up, and praise for whoever it is that woke me up. Hooray, hooray, hooray. So, and it also brings joy. The minute you start praising your little fingernail for growing. Oh my goodness. And for this hand for not hurting today. Oh, praise, 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 praise. And pretty soon you're laughing. And there is a kind of a buoyant delight about it all. So I'm this year I'm into praise as a spiritual path.
Right along with you. How's that?
Okay. Thank you.
Because
thank
I
you,
do. Thank you. I wake up. I do that. I am in gratitude always.
Right.
I show.
And gratitude is a magnificent form of prayer.
Yes.
But if you amp it to praise.
I like this. I like amp it up. I love that. And I will start that as of today.
Well, thanks to this foot for moving, thanks to the bed, praise to the bed, which
yes.
gave me a night's sleep.
That's right.
All of those things it's playful and it's fun and you do it in as many languages. And if it feels like grunting today, this is, oh, I'm going to say thanks today or praise today. But it makes the creator in you begin to laugh, I think. So.
My favorite thing on the planet is to laugh and to get everyone else to laugh.
Right.
So
yes.
If I can have more laughter, that's... How could we have more laughter? That is my thing. That awakens my soul. It feeds my soul. Not only when I laugh, because I'm constantly talking to myself and telling myself jokes and laughing, whether I'm alone or with anybody. But when I get anybody else to laugh, that's when my soul lights up. So now all I have to do is amp it up with praise and watch out. Watch out. We'll be having a lot of good laughs.
We'll have a rollicking world.
Yes, we will. We will.
Instead of weeping.
I feel closest to my creator when I laugh. And I think that's where we're at. And it's interesting to me that you're saying this as the God of creation and the laughter from the beings to create more, have more creation, have more be created.
Yeah.
I'm on path with that. That's where it comes from, is that laughter. I truly believe that. That's always been my sense. So this is exciting for me to be hearing this.
Right down your pathway.
You're working on another book about joy? Or are you speaking about your book, To Be and How to Be?
No, that one took me 20 years to write, and I'm working on one that takes 20 years to write. But I put everything aside to write the book on sacred theater, To Be and How to Be.
Well,
and then Jean Houston gave me this assignment, I think in 2000 or 2001, to create a philosophy of joy. Interestingly enough, because of you, we were working in her mystery school on cultures.
I remember.
And we were going into Italy. That was where it all began, was looking at Italy as a culture where the people have long joys and shorter pains.
Yes.
As opposed to so many of the people who have long pains and short joys. So that's one of Jean's great questions. Why are we given to long pains and short joys? And so we were looking at that whole thing and discovering that in her word, or the word that she loves to say, being part Italian herself, is abbondanza.
Abbondanza.
Abbondanza. So there's an abundance of life energy. In the food, in the landscape, in the manners, in the world of the Italian culture.
Arts. Oh. Yes.
And the arts.
The architecture.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It is so beautiful. It just pulls at my heartstrings to be there more often than I am. And although I must say I've discovered Ireland. And now... Italy, Ireland, I'm very torn. But yes, abbondanza, la dolce vita. Why is it that the Italians, the Greeks are that way too, you know, very much. But the Italians seem to have something different in the...
Well, how much of it is the food and how much of it is the landscape? I think those are both, they both contribute to that sense of how sweet life is.
Yes.
I remember once when I was on my first sabbatical in 1983, and I was on a ferry from Greece to Israel, back when they had ferries. And I stopped on the island of Cyprus. when we were just there for a few hours, but I was taking a walk, and this lady called me in. This is a Greek thing, and she had, the thing I remember most vividly was this mound of pomegranate seeds that were part of what she was doing. They were preparing a feast, and she invited me to stay, just come and stay with us. And you could, I mean, that kind of open-hearted hospitality and a desire, that's part of how you build joy, I think, is to share it.
Absolutely.
To share it and to augment its beauty by sharing it with acknowledgement, but actually saying to somebody how much joy they've given you in just something they've said or some way they're looking today or whatever. And I think that builds it. Mm-hmm. But this lovely woman sitting there working with her hands of this great big table of things. And as I said, my primary memory is this mound of pomegranate seeds that she had already, I don't even know where it was going or what she was going to do with it. But I thought, wow, now that's a mythic dish. This is even before I knew much about myths. I was just a Shakespeare person. So
A Shakespeare person.
Yeah, that's right. Shakespeare was my myth, my heart-centered life story. And goodness knows, it was interesting to be in Cyprus and the way he has used that country in the play Othello, for example, is so touching. But that lady's invitation, I think it was her grandfather's birthday or something, and you had the sense that the entire community would show up.
That's right.
For it.
That's right.
And I'm sure they did, and I wish I could have stayed, but I went back to the ferry and got on the boat.
From my experience, the idea of sharing the joy and sharing the abundance is what makes it, amps it up in your words. In my background of my culture, we had feasts of food all the time. And whoever would be literally passing by, or if I had a friend, just come on over. There's plenty of food. Come and be part of it. And I could walk into my grandmother's with a friend or several friends. My grandmother was thrilled. Sit down. The more people, the better. Oh, yeah, there's plenty of food. I'd call my Aunt Mary. What are you doing? Come up. She'd say to me, what are you doing? Come on over and eat. And I'd say, well, who is it? Just us. I'd show up. There's 30 people. There's food on the table, because by the time just us, who showed up with this friend and their cousins and other cousins, and everybody shows up. And there was always pure joy in that, always. And it didn't matter. My aunt would say, oh, I don't know what I have, but she had a gift. You know, she could take a loaf of bread and feed thousands of people. And that is where the joy. And I had the good fortune of growing up in that, with that around me all the time.
With that sense of share it.
Oh, absolutely.
Create it, share it.
Absolutely. And I still, to this day, that is where I get my greatest pleasure. I want to put out a spread of food and have great music and have everybody come in and enjoy it and, you know, be there and share it and be in a community. And in community.
Yeah.
And to me, those are the most precious moments in life for me. Because it just brings people together in such a way. And I believe that is what you and Jean are talking about, abbondanza. And that is why the Italians have life the way they do, because they're so open to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interested to hear that you're taking a sabbatical.
Determined to get this book into a shape where a wonderful editor can bring it to a renewed life. Mm-hmm. And that takes time, you know, it takes time. But I'm slowing down, sitting at the great table of joy, the long table of communion that is filled with joy, with every possible form of joy. And thank you for talking about the music so richly. And just imbibing, drinking it in.
Oh, yeah.
Wanting to share it. And joy keeps revealing itself to me in so many different ways.
Wow.
And so many avenues. So that it joy itself is not elusive, but writing about it is elusive. And I need lots of stories, and I've got, you know, substantial stories, and to hold them within the sense of the laughing creator, is just a puzzle, and a delight, and slow. Very slow. But one of the things that I've been saying over and over and over recently is that what we mainly need to do to appreciate both the sacrality of life and the joy of life is to slow down.
Yes.
To take the moments more gracefully.
One thing that I have loved is when I come onto your website, peggyrubin.com, and one of the first things that I see is the quote from the Upanishads. From joy all beings have come. In joy all beings are sustained. To joy all beings return. This is the highest teaching. This is the highest teaching.
This concludes today's interview. Thank you for tuning in today here on Global Heart to Heart Radio and partaking in the luscious feast at Peggy's long table of joy and communion. And guess what? That was just the appetizer. So if you found Peggy's talk as delightful, interesting, and stimulating as I did, I invite you to stick around for the main course. Listen in on Monday, March 30th, when Peggy will offer further discourse about her book, To Be and How to Be, about living life in a sacred way and incarnating the quality of what you are here to do and the art of becoming who you really are. You can find more information about Peggy and all that she offers the world on her website, peggyrubin.com. And if you are unable to join us live, then please go to globalhearttoheart.com to listen to the archive of this interview. Thank you again for listening in.